to thank God again for this privilege of being here in his house. And, you know, today being Father's Day, I mean, back home it would be customary of me, it was expected that I speak concerning that end this evening. I would like to do just that, you know. And I'd like to speak on the Father's decision. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, and then we'll read from Genesis chapter 34, then I'll use a few scriptures, really. I certainly believe the church of God is the family of God, and God will always instruct us, you know, as family, or we ought to act and be, and would guide us in our daily lives. Let us bow heads everywhere. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for this privilege you have given to us to be in your house. Lord, as we come together, Lord God, we pray that, oh God, you'll speak to us, through us, Lord God. And Father, Lord, we pray that the instruction of the scriptures, oh God, might be a benefit to the family of God as it is to the families individually. Lord God, we pray that, Lord God, we are not the author of all things, but Lord God, you are. And Father God, we can pull back the pages, but only you can break the bread of life to your children, God. And so we look to you, God, wait upon you and expect you, God, that you will speak to us as we have need. We pray, oh God, that your word would be of benefit to your children. Just thank you for all things, and we bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20. It's really in the life of Jacob. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in his way that I go and will give me bread to eat and remnant to put on so that I come again in my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. Amen. I really like that. Amen. Amen. It's not God asking. It's actually Jacob, you know, by a pledge, say he will do. And in Genesis chapter 34 and the first verse, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. May the Lord add his blessing to the word. You may be seated. You know, there's a book that a brother gave me years ago. I think it's written by a gentleman, Gene Edwards. And the title of it is The Tale of Three Kings. Many of you might have read it. It's a story in humility. And there is something very profound in his thoughts there, really, is that God had a king all along. But in that David that was God's choice to be the king of Israel, there was a Saul that was buried in the soul, he said, in the marrow of David. And so what God did, he allowed Saul first to be on the throne and then drive that Saul out of David. It was a learning experience for David. So when David now take the throne, he will said, I will never be a Saul. Because as far as David was concerned, his king, Saul, was mad. You know, God has blessed us as fathers. And as the Bible declared, the predestinated family, you know, is so set that by the word of God that, you know, the father is the head of the house. Amen. And, you know, I take an experience from the children. I used to remember at home every time, you know, the children would have come together. They would have played, you know, house. They would have played school and they would have done these things really. And there's an experience I've always watched. Every time the children come to play school, the person that takes the role of a teacher, they never take a chalk or something. The first thing that they do, they take a strap. Because in their mind, the teacher whip. All right? So that is their experience, really. And so we need to be careful what we pass on to our children. Now, we as men, as a father, as the head of the house, you know, the family is so set up that, you know, usually he's the earner of finances. He takes the resource to the family. And, you know, we ought to realize that in the unit of the family, every person plays a role, and a very important role. The family is a mechanism together that if one person don't play their role, then the family unit is not together. But I like to deal with these subjects, really, because one of the experiences that I have and the things I'd like to say is that, you know, you're passing on the experience from one generation to another. Your children are your inheritance. And one of the things that we must do as that predestined family is that, especially when your children are coming into teenage years and all of that, really, the experience that they have is that the home is the greatest place of security, no matter what their experience is. In other words, sometimes we can be too authoritative. And so the children are looking for a time when they can escape from this prison. And that is a practical experience. But the home must be such a place that we create that kind of atmosphere that our children, no matter what happen, they want to be at home. There's an experience of a human being wherever you call home. If you go somewhere and something happen on the road, you're in an accident or something happen, you know, the person's thought is that, take me home. I want to go home. Because there's something about home, that's where the love is. That's where the care is. That's where nurture is. And I remember some years ago, I was working at another place, and, you know, a friend of mine, you know, when it's time to clock out, everybody's getting ready to go home, really. And so, you know, I saw him sitting out on the bench, and, you know, everybody's leaving. I said, man, what's happened? And, you know, he might have lived in his family for a long time, but he was a young married man, and he just, you know, the thing is that they would have lived together, but one person get converted, then they've got to get married, and it's a new experience. And, you know, I said, what's happening? You're not going home. And he said, man, you wouldn't understand. He said, man, ever since I get married, the house become a war zone. Because she says, I catch him now. But you know, I mean, Jacob had an experience. He was born for the birthright. But he was born out of place. In other words, according to the law of the land, Jacob was not qualified for the birthright, but he was chosen for it. And so with all the device that went on, God's not looking at that order that you came in. He's looking at his grace. And Brother Branham said, Jacob is grace. And here it was Jacob. He actually stole the birthright from his brother. And you know, so he did his brother wrong. So you think that God would have said, no, Jacob, I'm going to school you. You took that birthright that did not belong to you. You know by the order of your birth, you're not qualified for the birthright. But listen, there was another thought in God's mind. He was a chosen for that birthright. Amen? And so now, so he had to run from his brother. And Jacob, when he was leaving home, you know, I like this really in Genesis 28. You know, Jacob evolved after he had that experience with God. And he said, if God will be with me and will keep me in his way that I go and will give me bread to eat and, hallelujah, remnant to put on so that I might come again to my father's house in peace. Remember now, when he was leaving, if he went back to his father's house, he would have died. But if I would return to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He's setting a covenant between him and God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Now, he is putting it to God. And of all that thou shalt give me, will I surely give thee tent unto thee.
Right.
When I use the scripture back home, I was preaching on the revelation of your tithing. Yeah. You see, with Jacob, it wasn't something that was asked of him.
Right.
It was something that he promised. I'm going to give to you, Lord, as a covenant
right.
for what you're going to do for me.
Amen. Exactly right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And so we find, I'd like to show you that because, you know, in Genesis 34, this now was after Jacob had met the angel. And God had restored him and changed his name and give to him this victory. Then the, in the next verse, you know, the Bible says that God, that Jacob meet his brother Esau and his brother attitude towards him was changed. But after that victory, no, you said now, so Jacob had met God. You know, the Bible says he met an angel. Jacob said, I met God face to face. Now, after he had met God, God had changed his name. And I want you to look at the time that this now happened. He had met God. God had changed his name. Then Jacob now moved the family to this place to stay. And he built him a house there. Now, Jacob's decision. Now, he did not move the family within the realms of the people of God. But he moved it close to this city. Of an unbelieving city.
Yeah.
And I tell you, as the head of your house, what you do with your family is determining what happens to that family.
Right.
We need to be careful of the decisions that we make. Now here is it, he had no children and he was moving his family into a place and you're saying, no, where your children are going to fellowship? What church will they go to? Who will be their peers? You know, where will they go to school? Am I taking my family among believers? When you move the family, when you make a decision, what is the greatest thought? What is the overriding or overarching situation that determines the decisions that you make? Because the decisions that you make can affect the family. Now here Jacob, he had met God face to face, but he was just a man. And he was making a decision. Maybe Jacob wasn't considering everything to do with his family, his children. Who they will fellowship with. So the Bible said, now Dinah might be a young girl coming to the time where she need other young girls to fellowship with. But around her, it's not what she wanted. So she went to meet with the women of the city. I'm going to have fellowship with the unbelievers. No, we know exactly what happened. But what I want to focus on is what caused this really. If Jacob, the head of the house, had not moved the family to this place, then his daughter would not have been in this situation. And so our decision as men, as husbands, as head of the house, and notice there in Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 23. You know, I've always, and in marriage, counseling, I've always said this to the couple. I said, I noticed that God did not say, wives, love your husband. But God said, husbands, love your wives.
Yeah.
And how do I love my wife? Like Christ loved the church. And be not bitter against her. Then in Ephesians 6, he's talking about his children. Hallelujah. He said, and provoke not your children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of God. No, your children already take your nature. That's by their birth. But what is more important is the nurturing of the family. the extent to which you will go to ensure that the family is protected. It's a man's position to ensure that his family is protected, to ensure that his family is cared for, to ensure that his family, his children, have the best to bring out the potential that they have battled up inside. And so sacrifices has got to be made. When you know, people have come to the stage in this time where they said, well, you know, nobody made any sacrifice for me, so I'm not making any sacrifice for anybody. When you come to the stage where you begin to start to be parents, you're coming to that position in your life where you're no longer the greatest object of adoration. But here you're bringing young ones into the world that if life progresses, they're going to influence the world that they're going into. And what they will take to influence that world is what they receive in the nucleus of their families, really. So we've got a greater sense of responsibility. You know, Brother Branham led by a certain kind of example. And you know, Brother Branham talks about him putting on an apron and in the kitchen and washing the dishes. Hello. Brother Branham said a lot of things about the women of the world, but you know, to his wife, he talks about her as his sweetheart. He said nice things about her. He defended her really. And brethren, I tell you, that's the example that we have in our time. You know, it should never be that way verbally because a man feel that you are the head. How do you deal with that position? Do you speak down to them? My word is law. And if I say it, that's it. You remember in the scripture, it was Moses who did not circumcise his house. And hallelujah. And God was going to take action. But his wife stepped into the picture. You know, when I came to the message years ago, I had a problem where the brother said, well, no woman can tell me anything. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, many brothers, if their wives were telling them what to do, they would have been better off today. Because I find many times that the women are more fervent, dedicated to the word of God. Hello. Amen. That's just the truth. Amen. Amen? And so it's not that... Oh, well, you know, my wife has no say in this, really. It's my decision. You see, sometimes we become so authoritative that we cannot even reason properly within the framework of the family. And as a man, you've got to realize Jacob was a prophet of God, that God just met him in the cave, give him deliverance. But Jacob went out and make a decision that severely affected his family. So does that mean that our words are law? Are we always right? We're certainly not. Hello, somebody. We're not perfect. And when you begin to look at yourself, and they said self-evaluation is one of the greatest strengths of a human being. There's people who think that, well, you know, I'm stronger than anybody else, everybody else. You know, I'm better than everybody else. You know, they're always trying to, if you're talking about hunting, they're talking about, they made the best shot. Yeah. If you're talking about cars, they drive the fastest. Yeah. And whatever subject you call, they want to be the best. Yeah. It's kind of natural as human beings. But in the predestinated family, we realize that we're not perfect. Right, right. And our strength really begins when we realize as human beings that we're not perfect. Right. Right. How we relate to our family is important. Amen. You know, children are vulnerable. And if the head of the house is mad, what kind of family we are going to have? Well, when I say the head of the family is mad, what I mean is that his father is a kind of person that he says things, whether it's rational or irrational. Whether it's right or wrong, whether it's reasonable or unreasonable, his word carries a power and the authority that not even God can change in the house. So I ask the question, then what if your children make mistakes? What you're going to do? You know, sometimes even the church becomes so legalistic in their approach that there is no grace. But Brother Branham said, Jacob is grace. And if your brother has a fault, how many times would you try to get him back in line? If he make a mistake, if he wrong you, how many times would you forgive him? And brethren, then when we do that, think now within the framework of our family. You know, I try to tell the children, you know, sometimes they get all shook up because in school they might do an exam or they do a test and, you know, they might think that they fail and, you know, they're all shook up. And I've always said this really. I said, hey, look, honey. I said, you're young. It is not the end of the world. If you've tried and you fail, you've got time to try again.
Right.
Hello? Sometimes we get to the stage where we said, well, listen, if you're not the best in school, then I'm wasting my time. Hey, but you know something in life? When you were that age, you weren't perfect. You made some stupid mistakes. Hello? But then you want your offsprings to be perfect. And to be honest with yourself, if they're looking at you, they'd be a totally mess. Hello. So I tell parents, I said, listen, you know, you're there trying to tell your kids about the birds and the bee and you're going over the moon and under the table and all, and they already know. Because one of the dumb things that we've got today, this is information age. There's nothing that is hidden. You know, brother Dale, what your parents could have tell you and you thought that they, what do they call it, what they call that bird that bring the babies? The stork. When you really thought that the stork being the babies, and you're telling them that today, they're looking at you and they're saying to them, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Because they already know that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
You see, you're living in yesterday and your children are today.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And you've got no interest to intervene in what is happening today.
Yeah.
You don't know the music. You don't understand the words. You know, one experience that I have, you know, the music that we had back in our day, I could almost sing along because it was clean music.
Yeah, right.
The ones they have today, you dare not say that as a Christian.
Yeah,
because, man, you defile yourself.
Right.
But you know what? Your children know every word, word for word,
right,
of these things, really.
Right.
Because they're living. Just like you know the words back then when you were there.
Right.
They know the words right now where they are.
Right. Right.
And so one of the things that we need to do, we need to get to that level.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Because you can either correct them or guide them if you don't know what they're going through. One of the things that we used to do at home, really, and you know, you send your kids to school back home. Here you can homeschool back in Jamaica. That's against the law. And so they go to school and they mix with the Jones that worship dog and the Johnsons that worship cow and those that are Buddhists, and they go to school with everybody. I'm just saying like that, really. You've got to, when you find a time in the family where you know the name of your children's friend, know where they live, who their parents are. And so, you know, you think that you live in a world up here and they're in a world down there, so you never talk to them, really. Hey, listen, if you're going to reach them, you're going to have to know and build that kind of relationship that they can talk to you about everything. Because you'll find today the things that you couldn't talk to your parents about, if you don't talk to your children about that today, you're in serious trouble by the tempo of where the world is really going. Are you with me? So you've got to be able to get down to that level. Have that family time where we talk about your debrief. What happened today? And so you know who John is. And you know who Mary is. And you know that they live over there and they live over there. And listen, get a part of their world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build relationship with your children. There's so many times that husbands, especially because you've got to work, you've got to do these things, your family is alien to you with what they're going through. But you're the strong man in the house. Hey, hello. You know, my girls, they figure if a boy liked them and you know what, they're whispering among each other, they said, Daddy like him? Because if Daddy don't like him, then he's a no-no. But I say, hey, I ain't going to live with him. I said, one day you're going to find this ugly boy, really, and I'm going to laugh at him. But I'm just joking. Yeah. But listen, you've got to build relationship. Be a part of their world. Everything, they can come to you, they can tell you. You know why they can come to you and they can tell you everything? Because you're a person of grace. That if you make a mistake, you have the characteristic that you're going to forgive. Sometimes things are going to hurt you, the direction that a family takes. But listen, look at your life to God. You have made some serious mistakes in your life. And what if God would have put you to the side and banished you forever and there was no way of getting back? Brethren, we ought to learn to forgive. Amen? And though it hurt us really, we still got to forgive. Because the Bible says, he said, I'm going to save you with your offspring. Amen? Hallelujah. And if God said that, God means that. Hello, somebody. And so you've got an opportunity of hope within the family. Amen? So you believe in your children. Not only believing your children, but believing other people's children. Very important. And within the framework of the church, all the children are your children. Amen? Because they are a part of the family of God. Amen? So here Jacob, he made this mistake. And Dinah went out to be with the daughters of the city. And so was it the king's son that saw her and took her and defiled her? And so after all of that, he wanted to marry to her. But they were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel. And God forbid that, really. Right. Now, so the family now is in trouble. Now, and the family find itself in this kind of trouble. What are you going to do? So, you know, they come and they try to make a truce. They said, well, we desire your daughter, anything that you want. And Jacob's son, they came up with this device. They said, listen, we can't have this with you because you're not circumcised. But they said, oh, but if you become circumcised, you become a part of us and we become part of you. And those boys of Ammon, they said, listen, they tell everybody, they say, hey, come on, let us just circumcise and be a part of them because all their cattle is going to be ours. And all that their sheep and all that they have, we're going to be one people. Yeah. You see, but all of that is what comes after.
Right.
They weren't to be there in the first place, but a father's decision. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of it, do you take the blame for what happened? Do you say, whatever happens to this family, God, I stand in that breach. Because I'm the decision maker of my house. Hey, listen. You know, you said, no, it's not me, it's my children, it's my wife. No. You are the head of the house. How you do will determine what comes of it, really. Are you there with me? And so here it is now. What was happening to Jacob's house? Jacob had just met God. And for all of his years of wandering, for all of his trouble, God had set the peace with him and his brother. But look what is going to happen to his house. Murder. Murder. Because of his decision. And so he says, well, my sons did. Because my daughter did. But what caused it? Because his decision had caused the family to be in a place that they were not supposed to be. And so not because we are spiritual, not because we've been blessed by God, not because we think that we hear from God, the family is important. Yeah. It's your inheritance.
Amen. Right.
The decisions that you make, it will affect the family.
Yeah.
You know, brethren, it's a beautiful thing if your children, after your example, serve the Lord.
Right.
It's the most glorious thing in a family.
Yeah.
But you know, if your children don't serve the Lord because of decisions that you've made, then you've got to realize it's not just my children. Lord, I've made mistakes. And how do I put that before God so that God can turn around and forgive my days, that my children, my inheritance would be the benefit of God's word?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, in Ezekiel 18 and verse 12, the Bible says the father has eaten the sour grape. So Ezekiel was saying it is what the father did that is affecting the children. And you know, brethren, you're going to say, well, you know, Brother Keith, are you trying to say that all that happened to my children is my fault? No, I'm not saying that. But I say we've got a responsibility as the head. You know, do we come down hard with the hammer? Do your children realize that in you there is grace? That if I go to the end of the road and I've messed everything like the prodigal, could your children come back to you like the prodigal son had gone back to his father? And if your son had come back to you, would you be what the son had thought in his heart? That I will go back and I'm saying, Father, I've sinned. And because just make me a servant. Would you say, well, yes, boy, be a servant? Or would you have that father's heart?
Amen.
A son cannot be a servant.
That's right. That's right. Right.
Especially if he's coming to maturity.
Right.
Before he's mature, the Bible says he's no different from a servant. But if he's mature, in other words, if he's repented, if he come back, he's no longer a servant, but a son.
Right.
And you treat him that way.
Amen.
Brethren, the family unit is important.
Amen.
And fathers need to realize that you've got a profound responsibility to your wife, to your children, to the entire family. The things you do, the things you say, the decisions that you make is going to affect the family. And so, in your thoughts, you're not perfect, but God is perfect.
Amen?
You know, we don't think, and especially around the message where they said, women. You know, I tell you, you know, they said, well, he caused the fall. But hey, listen, Satan was kicked out of heaven and come down into the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
If he had not come in that garden, there would be no fall.
Right.
Amen. So you got to take it back to the beginning.
Right.
Are you there with me?
Amen.
You started this union, and so you've got a profound responsibility. You know, we've got a thing as men that it is too hard for you to say, I am sorry. But you know, fathers, this morning, this is Father's Day. Sometimes you have wronged your children. Sometimes even within the families, within the message, you talk to children, you talk to young people, you talk to wives.
Right.
And there's this undercurrent of bitterness because of things that were said, because of things that were done. And sometimes you want to move on as though it never happened. Brethren, when there is a wrong, it must be made right. And you're never too big to say to your children, hey, I've made mistakes in life. Might be what you are today. I've made decisions that was not exactly what I should have made. And I'm sorry. But you know, God, together, God can bring us back on track,
right.
No matter how far that we think that we have gone.
Right. Right. Amen. Amen.
There's a lot of tears that are not cried.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger that is built up. There's a lot of people with a lot of resentment because of decisions that we have made in our lives. But brethren, the family is important. All the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you and your household shall be saved. That's a covenant. But you see, for that covenant to be in effect, you've got to go back and make things right according to St. Mark 11. When you go to pray, forgive. You've got to forgive your children of the things that you felt that they did against you. Hello?
Amen.
And then they've got to seek forgiveness from you for the things that they've done. But you know, the stronger does it first. Well, you know, if they never say they're sorry, I'm not sorry for what I did. People say, well, they hurt me, and I ain't saying no sorry. As long as I live, I'll never forget it, and I'll never forgive them. You'll never go to heaven. And that's really what you're saying. I can't go to heaven because I ain't saying I'm sorry. Brethren, as believers, we need to develop that attitude that if we feel like we've wronged somebody, sometimes you know what you do? You carry the story to 10 people. People have never known the story to try to prove that you're not wrong. But what if I say I'm sorry and I wasn't wrong in first place? Hey, you know, my mother used to say, no mug, no mash, no coffee, no dashway. You don't know what that means. the cup didn't break, so the coffee didn't spill. Amen. So what if I say I'm sorry and at the end of the day, God say I wasn't wrong. But at least I did what I thought that I could do because I first want to make the situation right. And we're talking about the family.
Amen.
How do you treat your wives? The Bible says husbands love your wives.
Amen.
You know, so he said, well, she's not submissive. Did you really love her the way you should? In other words, do you love her like you when you started?
Amen.
When you would have walked across mountains and going to valley at the dead of night?
Amen.
Hey. You know, marriage is like this, really. After the marriage get a few years down the road, you know, she said, honey, would you go in the room and get it? Or you go get it yourself? You know, when you started out, really, you'd have fixed his plate and make sure, you know, that everything was in the right place by the color scheme and you gave it to him, really, because you want to make sure that your honey, your sugar, your Good Dove and all of that nice things is all right. After it goes down a few years down the road, if you want it, get it. But the Bible commands us, really, husbands, love your wives with such a love that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, really. You know, when the gray years begin to come, when you can't walk as fast as you used to walk, that's the time the love takes another turn. It starts to mature. Amen. That's the time you really need one another. That's when you need the companionship of each other. And if you don't invest to be kind in the early years, when you're older, you won't get what you're expecting to get. Amen? Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. At Father's Day, we've got a great opportunity as men of God, as fathers, as Christians, as believers, to lead our family the way God says. I know the man Abraham, that he will lead his children after him. May God lead us. May we be an example of the predestinated family. May we be an example of people that know the utmost truth. May we stand in faith and believe that no matter what happened to the family after years, may members of your family testify, he was the best dad that I have. And sometimes those children are not your biological children. That's a great challenge that we have. You know, I've seen that the best of family, you know, mothers, they are protected of their children and they come into a marriage after that they've got children. And so they guard those children from that new husband. It's because she figure he's going to hurt her children. You know, really, it's a nature that comes from the animal kingdom. But if you love him enough to marry to him, and you marry each other with children outside of that marriage, you need to even go the extra mile to ensure that the offspring is taken care of. You know, Reverend Chinku says that in the book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, when the priest came and take the one cow that the family had, he took the calf also. In Jamaica, they said, if you take the cow, the calf are for you. In other words, if you take her, all her children are yours. Be a father to those children. And you know, if you've loved children all your life, one of the problems that we have back home even now is that now to migrate, a family migrating to the United States. One time there was no DNA. Now they've got to do DNA. And you know what? They're now doing the DNA for the family to move to the United States, and they realize their children in the bunch, that is not for the father. Yeah. I've seen young people went off their mind because, you know, and a man, if you've had this child all your life that you thought is your child, and then years after you find it's not your child, can you take back love? We've got some things to deal with because of sin. But brethren, but we're the predestined of God. And we ought to make a difference. So whatever position you find yourself in, I wish at the end of the day, I've heard minister's wife says, I would never marry to another message preacher. It's a disgrace. It's not a shame. It's a disgrace. You should be the best man. Any man that stand behind this pulpit and his wife and his children can't said, I'm proud of him as my husband. I'm proud of him as my daddy. He shouldn't be standing here. I have one thing back home. I said, listen, if a man abuses his wife, he ain't preaching. In other words, if he's abuser in the past, if he abuser, if I know, he ain't preaching for me. That's period. You know, because listen, your wife ought to be your greatest cheerleader. If she don't see God in you, you're just an hypocrite behind the pulpit. If your children don't see God in you, I don't care what those children are. They could be backslidden to the end of the earth, but they know the way you treat them. You are the best father that there is. Amen. May God bless us this evening. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And may you lead your children after you in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. As we get together to pray, let us pray. You know, in our lives, we've made mistakes. We've made decisions that now we can look back and we said, you know, if I was to do that all over again, I wouldn't do it the way I've done it. But you know, the God who we serve is a God of mercy. Is a God who cares. We can stand today and we can say, Lord, forgive me. Because out of ignorance, I've done things I shouldn't have done. But Lord, I need my family to be an example of the Word of God as we pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for the knowledge of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for a man of God that lived a godly example for us to follow. And Lord, we know, God, that we have heard many things. Many things have been practiced. Many things have been said. Many things have been done, Lord God, to break the structure of the family. But Lord God, we pray you forgive us, O God. Lord, help us, O God, to be the best that we can be. That, Lord God, we can stand upon the promises of your word. That, Lord God, we will say in this hour, we'll say this hour that we live. Amen. Hallelujah. I will save you with your offspring. And Lord God, because of our lives, Lord God, the covenant will through. Lord God, may we be like Jacob. That, Lord God, in spite of, Lord, we make decisions even after we know, after we have revelated, Lord God, we're just human. Humans forgive. We make mistakes. But Lord God, we pray you forgive us, God. And help us, oh God, to make it right with those we have wronged. That, Lord Jesus, the word of God, be not blasphemed. Lord, we just believe that coming out of this bride, out of this message, this hour that we're living, as we celebrate Father's Day, we should have the greatest father on the face of the earth because of what you've done for us. So Lord, forgive us, O God. And Lord God, try us just one more time. We thank you, God, for today. We thank you for your word. Lord God, these few words to your children might mean nothing, O God, but we pray that, Lord God, your hands would be upon us as we pray believing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Sing 540, Heavenly Father.
Think about it. Father's Day. That's a good point. Isn't it? We know who our Father really is now, don't we?
Let me go high.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Holy Spirit.
Spend your whole life searching. You get to the end of your life and you find out who your real father is. You love your mom and daddy. You love your natural father and things. But you find out who your real father is. And that's wonderful. That then you can say, Father, I love you. Brother, what was it, Billy Paul telling that time he'd go pick up his dad or Joseph one, and they'd hear him in there and he'd be saying, Papa, Papa. He's praying to him. He was talking to him like a real father. He just saying, Papa, Papa. So that's the way we need to talk. Amen. Make sure you tell our brother how much you appreciate him. We appreciate them coming and being with us today and everything. And we pray that the Lord would bless you. You're going to travel on. And after we get through with the Father's Day little outing and all, and you just pray that the Lord would bless and guide. If you have anything you'd like to give him, church takes care of all things. But if you have anything you'd like to give him as a gift, feel free to do so, because that'd be fine with us. All right? Amen. Anything else before we go?
We need to get ready and go, those of you that are going. We're going to be in cabin 11, 17, 18, and 19.